The reason they are in pain is because they are identified as the mind. So what I'm teaching people how to do in the energy codes is take this quantum flip and learn how to live as the spirit in a body who has a mind that you're constantly teaching to be on you. You're constantly teaching the mind to serve you instead of control you. And it's quite a ride when people start to turn that inside out. Everything changes and we are set free, because it is only the mind that suffers. The mind judges, and the mind feels alone, and the mind feels isolated, and the mind feels like it's not enough, and the mind feels like it has to win and it has competition, and all that stuff is all driven by the mind. It has nothing to do with the truth of who we are. So we should stop saying, I'm afraid. We can say, my mind is afraid, and we'd be seated in a better seat. We could say, my mind is, you know, angry. My mind is frustrated. But don't claim it as you, because you are never upset. You, the real you, is never afraid. The real you is never lacking anything. And so this is the dilemma that we've been living inside of all of our lives. And no wonder we're in so much fear and pain and anxiety when our life rituals and circumstances get taken away. You know, when COVID happened and no one could live the way that they're used to living, people freaked out because they're used to habits and patterns and traditions and regularities. And that's how they have this false sense of safety. And so you take that away and all of a sudden people are freaking out all around the world. And now they're judging and deciding that you have to do this and don't tell me what to do. And all this just, you know, it's coming up because that's how we wake up. So, you know, I'm hoping to share enough information with enough people to stabilize that. And we're doing a pretty good job. We're connecting with 95 countries around the world and sharing this information. So it is something that is changing a lot of people's lives, and rightfully so, because what we're speaking about is a deeper truth that has been the focus of all deep consciousness study and meditation techniques since the beginning of time. It's just that conversation has been being overridden by flashier conversations about manifesting and getting the house and the car and the you know, relationship and all of that, which people are so obsessed with. And I'm sharing that if you'll just do this work, those things will take care of themselves. If you'll just do this kind of work that I'm talking about, if you'll just come inside and learn how to anchor yourself in the body and identify as the true essential self versus this mind-based personality, these things will take care of themselves. You will get, you know, the promotion and the better job, and the abundance will flow, and you do heal, and you do get the partnership that you're looking for, and it does unfold. And I'm describing this because it has happened in my life, and it has happened in the lives of thousands of people that I've been working with, and whatever their goals really were, they're finding that they're meeting their goals from an entirely different avenue than they ever thought they were supposed to be pursuing in order to get what they wanted. So, yeah, it's an inside job.
Yes, absolutely. Can illness also be a way of development in your eyes?
Illness is a way of development. It doesn't have to be through illness that we wake up, but illness can serve our awakening. In other words, when we suffer through illness, when we suffer through, you know, the symptoms of COVID, when we suffer through migraine headaches like I used to have, we suffer through pain patterns like I used to have, we start to question, we start to disconnect from our habitual way of living, or we have to, and we start to evaluate, you know, what matters, what am I doing? It's an awakening inquiry that starts through illness oftentimes. You know, I would love for humanity to just start asking those questions before they're ill, because the same questions apply and the same answers will reveal, but illness seems to be a way to get people's attention and to change priorities in an all-encompassing manner, because we have to take 100% of us and have it shift in order to start living the way we were supposed to be living in the first place, and to start healing and to start experiencing our abundance. It has to be with all of us. And so sometimes illness has been required in some people's lives to get all of their attention operating in such a way, but it doesn't have to be that way. If we have devotion and a prioritization of personal stewardship in a divine sort of way, and honor our true self in a way that it matters more than anything and is regularly in our attention every day, it is enough power to develop our consciousness without having to suffer in order to get that as a top priority. And I find, and I use the word devotion on purpose, because discipline will get it also, but it's very hard for the mind to agree to being disciplined. But the mind will agree to being devoted to something because there's heart energy associated with that. And anytime we can get the heart and the mind connected, the mind is much better off, because the vibrational frequency of the mind is of such a vibration that it serves of the heart. The vibrational frequency of love and of the heart is of such a vibration that it settles the mind instantly when the mind connects with it. It soothes the mind and slows it down and allows it to feel, It allows the mind to feel when the heart is involved. We can experience true compassion and true love and true joy and intimacy and sacredness, and those kinds of energies are significant when it comes to healing and changing our life path. So if we are devoted to something, there's mind and heart in it together. When we are disciplining, we're just like forcing our mind to do, no, every day I'm going to do this exercise, or every day I'm going to do this. And it's like, you know, the mind is like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll do that for a little while, but I'm really interested in this other thing because it's more joyful. And so it wanders off again, and we have to keep pulling it back, and it wanders off again, and we keep pulling it back. But if you get devotion in the picture, there's heart and meaning. Now the mind will stick around. It's like, oh yeah, let's do more of that. This really matters to me. This is deep and meaningful. And now the mind has something to serve that is bigger than itself. And whenever the mind has something bigger than itself to serve, it's always better off, because the mind alone is a dangerous thing. The mind isolated on its own, oh my gosh, it writes stories and it gets all tangled up in stuff and it folds over on itself and starts writing stories. And the next thing you know, you're down a road where nobody loves you and nobody cares and the world is a terrible place and you're not enough. And it's crazy, because the mind alone isn't enough. So if you leave the mind to itself, it's going to write a story about not being enough, because the mind, yeah, I have another picture here that I want to show you. Okay. This one's just a simple drawing, but it really puts things in perspective. This line right here that is red, the red line, is the line of the mind. And you are all this other stuff. So the mind is just a simple part of you. And we think that this is who we are, but this is who we are. This energy of spirit is who we are. And this is the mind, and this is the emotions, and this is the chemistry body, the etheric body, where the chakras start to formulate. And then this is the physical body. And our job is to come all the way to the physical body. But we get hung up right here, and we start living right here, just as this alone. And it's not a fun place to be, because, as I said, the mind alone, this is only a portion of us, a small portion of us. And in perspective, if you were to really lay this out in perspective, this blue field is about as big as a football field. And this mind is about as big as a pencil laying on a football field. Okay. So now the mind is powerful beyond belief. It has the ability to shut off the entire football field, but in and of itself, it's no bigger than a pen or pencil laying on an entire vast, you know, amount of energy. So we have to get in perspective and not let the mind run the show. We have to train it and teach it. Like, you're in service to me. You don't get to control me. You have to be in service to me. You don't get to decide anything about my life. You get to be right here. I get to tell you what we're going to do. And that's how we have to start to work with things a little differently.
Absolutely. Yes. How important is it to get all this wisdom into schools, into the school system?
Ah, well, wouldn't that be glorious? Mm. So we do have this work in elementary schools, where we're teaching elementary school children how to do some of the practices that we do that balance the body and get the body and the mind and the heart all aligned with the breath, melding them all together. With little kids that are, you know, they're like so eager to do this, and they love it, and they do it. They love to do it. And if we could teach our children in mass how to do the practices of the energy codes or the practices of learning to build the circuitry to take the wobble and the distortion out of the field, we would raise a generation of leaders and healers like we have not yet known. And it would take us, with all of the advantages that we have with the advancements of society, but it would also take us into the wisdom of the indigenous cultures and the peoples who lived in tandem with nature. And they lived in connection with nature and earth and the powers that be. And we would combine those two capacities in such a beautiful way that it would truly be, will truly be the solution for humanity. And we have generations that are developing, that are much more interested in such things. The young people today are very interested in this. When we start engaging and talking about it, they light up and they know that it's the answer, because they're not so far removed from, you know, the heavens of just arriving here. You know, the first decade, we still have a real open doorway, because we haven't been living in the disconnect for decades, you know, 30 and 40 and 50 years and 60 years. Disconnected is a long time. But when you start to speak to an 8-year-old, they get it. You speak to a 12-year-old, they get it. And so we're very interested in bringing this information to this age range of people, because we know that they're going to have the power to save the planet and the race that's trying to survive on the surface of this planet before we destroy it.
Oh, yes. Many people have heard of countless examples where healing has worked, because very few describe case studies where healing has not worked. And those where healing does not work run the risk of believing that there is something wrong with them. Why do you find that healing is not working, or under what conditions may healing not work, and what can you say to such people?
Okay, so when we land here, I describe it as we kind of splat. Mm-hmm. It's like a rough landing, and we splat and we disperse, and all of our attention, as we said earlier, goes to the outer world. Mm-hmm. And in that, we develop a personality way out there on the edge of the splat. We're out there trying to make it work and trying to please people and do the right thing and show up for life and be a good employee or a good employer or a good partner. We're just out there trying on that outer edge. Mm-hmm. And when we get sick from living out there in that outer edge, and we don't self-heal, because the self-healer is here on the inside, and so we're living way out here on this outer perimeter, and we get sick and we go to the doctor and we get a prognosis or a diagnosis and we get a treatment program assigned, and then they do the treatments, mm-hmm. and we don't heal. If we don't heal, it's all because none of that had anything to do with activating the true healer on the inside. So there is no surgery and there is no pill and there is no process from the outside in that heals us. What causes us to heal is when we activate the healer within the body. Now, sometimes a pill or a surgery or a methodology of therapy of some sort will activate the healer within in an inadvertent way, directly or indirectly, and then healing happens. And we associate it with the surgery or the medication or whatever. But it is actually that the healer within took that up and did something with it that made the healing happen in the person at the end of the day. So when healing doesn't happen from the methodologies that we attempt, it is because the individual is still living out there in the protective personality or the performing personality that they developed along the way. And the modalities just aren't strong enough or potent enough to knock them back inside. And believe me, some chemotherapies and some surgeries and some intense approaches like that are big enough that, boom, they just rock our world and knock us down. And when they knock us down, it lands us in this surrendered place where we activate the healer within. Mm-hmm. So the invitation is surrender, so that you don't have to get sick to have to surrender and get to this healer within. Mm-hmm. So a person who is living out there as a protective personality, they don't know that they are. They're living as this performing personality. We don't know that we are, because that's all we've ever done. So it's like the fish that's in water doesn't know it's in water because it's always only ever been in water until you take it out and throw it on the bank. And now it's like, you know, I prefer the water. So they had no choice point before that. So people are waking up to realize they have a choice point. And then it's easier for them to realize, oh, there's a reason that the modality didn't work for me. It's because I wasn't home to receive it. I was living out there on this outer surface layer on the perimeter of who I am. And these modalities can't heal me from there. So it's so important in that moment that the person doesn't conclude, this just isn't going to work for me and there's no hope. There's so much hope. But first, we have to learn how to come home and live there in this place where these modalities can serve. And we might just find that we don't even need as many of them as we thought we did. Because when we do come home, the natural healing state that is intended to be self-healing all the time is able now to be fueled and to kick in and do what it's here to do. And then we self-heal and we self-regulate and we self-illuminate. And everything changes when that starts to happen. So there is always hope. And when someone starts to feel like there is not hope, I assure you it is because they're not sitting in the right seat to receive the benefits that life and that modern, you know, medicine can both provide. And it would be my preference that people learn and try to attempt natural self-healing. And there are also, I want to say this, there are also a lot of natural self-healing techniques out there that work for people and don't work for some people. And the reason that they don't work for the people that they don't work for is because of what I just said. They're not at home doing these practices. They're not in their deep core central channel, like what we were referencing. They're not living in here. They're living way out here on the surface and beyond. And they're not actually getting to reap the benefits of these natural healing techniques that are available for them because they're trying instead of receiving, instead of accepting and receiving. So let me just ask this quick question to everyone who's watching or listening. If you find it easier to give than to receive, it is possible that you are not landing completely in your deep core, true essential self the way you could be. It needs to be just as easy for you to receive it as it is to give. It needs to be a non-issue. So just like think, oh, wow. So we have to get better at dropping into our deep core self and feeling and owning and knowing who and what we really are. Because when we know that, giving and receiving are equally joyous and we don't hesitate or resist either of them. And so that's just a little tidbit that we might want to stick in our pocket and check in on regularly, because it's a telltale sign that I'm caught up in this thing that we're talking about here today.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think that death is a part of life? Like also illness is a part of life, because at the beginning of the podcast, I had a series with two friends of mine, and one, she was very ill, and the theme was conscious dying. She had cancer, and if you see a picture of her, she died 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and if you see a picture of her body was gone. It's crazy that a soul can live in this body, but it was a big experience for us and those who left behind, you know. And that could be also important, that it's not only like a failure, you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So right, you know, we're just passing through this place, right? We are eternal. You know, science is showing us that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just is. It can only be reshaped into different vibrations or forms or whatever. But it in and of itself is always present. It's always here. Mm-hmm. And this is a beautiful realization, because we also know that we are made of energy. So we are eternal. We cannot be created or destroyed. The truth of us, the true essential soulful presence, is eternal. And it compresses itself into a body, and then it leaves the body and moves on and and goes on to have other experiences. And after I had this initial door opening 20 years ago, since then, I have multiple dimensional experiences in parallel universes or multi-dimensionality, visiting other dimensions all the time. I really traverse them regularly. And I know that when we come in here and we put on this skin suit, that we're here doing certain things for certain reasons. And then we can access and exit anytime and be in other states of consciousness, in other realms always. And we do regularly. We do every time we go to sleep. We are astral traveling and we're in other dimensions. And that's why we have dreams that kind of make sense and they kind of don't make sense. And it's because we're expanding beyond the body. And so, you know, life and what we call death is part of that cycle, but it isn't a death at the way that we've perceived death. It is, there is no such thing. And we have to untangle that misinformation and recognize that we are eternal. We come in, we do what we're here to do. Then we go somewhere else. We go elsewhere. We go. It isn't that we die and our spirit goes on, which was that whole issue was what got me interested in this whole conversation, you know, 23 years ago, which led me to meditation, et cetera. And it was then that I opened and had these recognitions. So what we know is that I was sitting in a funeral and they said, you know, when Sally died and her spirit went on, it shocked me. I was like, you know, I was 23 years old or 25 or 26 or something like that. And I was like, I don't ever want to die. I don't want to be the one that dies and have some spirit that I don't even know go on to have some other life. I'm not interested. So I want to trade places. I want to be the one that goes on. And that started this inquiry in my life that led to meditation, led to this opening, led to this, you know, this whole thing unfolding this way, simply because I got curious about what's really going on here. And now I identify as the spirit, and I am living as a soul in a body that I developed. I built a body and built a mind, and I'm here breathing my way through this life as spirit in a body. And I also have the capacity to go elsewhere, and we all do. But the most important thing is that while we're here, we are here wholly, fully recognizing that we're here for this beautiful reason of living joyously and abundantly and flourishing in this life with everything that we have. And knowing that when it's time for us to move on to our next adventure, that is what happens. And if we do not resist that, it happens with grace. And if we do resist it, it becomes a painful process. I think that it is mostly because of a misinterpretation that most people are afraid of that moment in life that we are exiting for, you know, for the last time this time around. And people are very afraid of that. And it isn't a big deal. It really isn't. Now we need to process life as if it is precious and rare and valuable beyond our beliefs, because it is. And at the same time, when that time comes to make our transition into another dimension, to not be afraid of it, because it is literally, you open a door, you walk through the door, and you're out of this room and you're in another room. You're in another place. It isn't that you're annihilated and you just disappear and there's nothing. You leave this place and move into another place. And if I could tell the whole world that, I would love to, because we're so afraid. And we're afraid to live because we're afraid to die. And it's just all, none of it is necessary, you know, in that perspective.
Yes. Amazing words. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. Can you please take us through an exercise with the energy codes?
Sure. We the energy codes is a way of living. It's a way of learning all sorts of things. But we do have some immediate exercises that we could do so that people could start to feel this. And I'll just take a couple of moments to do this. But I'd like everyone to feel a couple of things. We're going to do three things. One, I'd like you to feel the difference between your energy being splatted and dispersed and you giving it away too easily and claiming it back. So that's one. And then I'm going to give everyone the experience of being able to move that energy with their breath. And then I'm going to give them the experience of learning how to recognize when one of these things is happening and not let it happen anymore, to just carve a pathway straight through it. Okay. So we're going to do all that in just a couple minutes. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So the first thing is, I want you to imagine that someone that pushes your buttons or trips your triggers, you know, triggers you, is walking through a door in the room that you're in. They're just like, they're walking through a door. They're in the room with you now. And notice this person or this situation is right here and how your energy goes over there to them. And it rushes off of you and you feel this flooding of energy off of you and onto them. And you'll notice that it doesn't feel very good in your body when they are here. And now I want you to just secretly claim it back. You just, as if you're grabbing that energy and just bringing it back onto you, onto self, instead of it being thrown onto this object, this person, bring it back onto subject, you. Just claim it back and still see them standing there, but consciously and intentionally pull your energy back onto you and claim it. And take a breath in your belly, breathe in your belly. And when you breathe in your belly, you automatically anchor more of this energy. You anchor more of this energy in your own body. So now you can look at them, but you're intending and insisting and commanding that the energy be here in your own body while you're breathing in your belly, rather than it being dispersed and given away, your power given away to someone. And now that that energy is here, the body feels better. It feels better to be in this body when that person is in this room, if my energy stays on me. So that's one. Very important. Stick with it. Do it all the time. Practice it many times with all sorts of things. Okay. The second thing is, I would like people to learn how to breathe up and down this channel specifically, because when we breathe up and down this channel, we start to magnify this energy that we're claiming back for ourselves and put it to good use. Okay. It starts to pierce through all these areas automatically. All right. A little bit at a time. So here's how we do this. You take a breath from above your head and breathe down through the center of your brain, through the center of your throat, through your chest, through your belly, into your belly. And then you're going to exhale down into the earth. Then you're going to breathe from in the earth up through into the belly. And then you're going to exhale right up out through the top of your head, as if there's an opening in the top of your head, because there is energetically. Let's take a breath through the center of the brain, through the throat. Let's do it together, through the chest, all the way down into the belly. Big belly breath. And then exhale, shoot that breath down through the tip of your spine and into the earth. Now let's take a breath from in the earth up into the belly again. Now just squeeze your shoulder blades together and drop them down. Squeeze the shoulder blades together, drop them down, and then roll your eyes up and exhale from your belly up through your chest, through your throat, through the center of your brain, and out the top of your head. Now let's take a breath with your eyes rolled up. Take a breath from above your head, right behind where you feel the tension behind your eyes, where your muscles are working, right through there and right through your throat, and then right where your shoulder blades are squeezed and dropped down. Feel the tension there. Bring the breath right through that area and right into your belly. Inhale into your belly. Now hold your breath in. Let me describe this. Squeeze the muscles in the pelvic bowl as if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream instantly. Squeeze those muscles. Squeeze them right now. And then exhale right through those squeezed muscles into the earth. Just exhale. Keep them squeezed. As if you were going to the bathroom, you had to stop the stream instantly. Squeeze those muscles. Keep them squeezed. Now take a breath up from the earth through those squeezed muscles in the pelvic bowl, in the perineum, and breathe into your belly. Keep them squeezed and breathe into your belly. And now we're going to exhale right up through that pathway at the shoulder blades and the pathway right behind your eyes, and exhale it right up out the top of your head. We're going to do the same thing again. Inhale from above your head, right through the center of your brain, through the behind the eyes, that tension you can feel with your eyes rolling up or rolling down. Breathe right through your throat. Squeeze the blades right there. You're breathing right through that area and right into your belly. You're just charting a course for yourself. That's what we're doing with all these muscle contractions. Now squeeze those muscles in the pelvic bowl again and exhale. Shoot the breath right down through that. It's called Mula Bandha. It's a root lock that anchors your energy in the body. And exhale into the earth. Now inhale up from the earth right through that Mula Bandha, those squeezed muscles in the belly, or in the pelvic bowl rather. Breathe into your belly. Then you're going to exhale through the belly up through the squeezed shoulder blades right up through the throat, through the center of the brain, that tension behind your eyes, and shoot it out the top of your head. Okay. And now let's take a deep breath from overhead, right down through the same, right through the center of the brain, through the throat, through the chest, into the belly, and then exhale right into the earth and open your mouth and just exhale. Ha. Okay. So that's a whole lot of words, but all you're doing is breathing up and down through this channel. Okay. Now, and you're anchoring by squeezing some of these muscles, you're anchoring that energy and stabilizing it, and it intensifies it. So learn how to contract those muscles in the pelvic bowl, shoulder blades together, drop them down, roll the eyes, and it gives you these coordinates to stay in the channel, to stay in this central channel, which is where the healer happens. The healer happens right in there. Okay. Now, one last thing. Let's go back to this person who's standing in the room who trips your triggers. Okay. Pushes your buttons. These are your buttons. These are your buttons. This person pushes your buttons because you're trying to learn how to build circuits right through these areas and carve a pathway that allows this to flow like this. So here's what happens. When you look back at this person standing in your room who has got this, you know, whatever they do that bugs you so much, okay? If you notice in your body where you feel activated when they do what they do you get a lump in your throat or a tightness in your chest or a knot in your stomach or tightness in your spine or your neck or wherever it is, wherever you get accentuated, activated, some concentrated energy, you're getting that because of this gap in the flow. This energy is rising and it's hitting this and it's giving you a knot in your stomach or in your gut. Or it's coming over here and hitting this and then trying to run around it. And it's it's in your stomach. Or it's hitting right here and trying to go around it. It hits it, it comes up and hits that and then has to go around it. And when it hits that, you feel it like tension, knot in your stomach, in your throat. That's what you're feeling. And so rather than saying, I just have to stay away from this person, I get sick in my stomach every time I'm around them. Instead of doing that, let's lean in. Let's do something about this. Let's use this to our advantage because it is. It's a gift that's waiting for us. So ask yourself, where in my body am I activated every time you come in the room? When I think about you, where am I activated? And I'm going to squeeze that area back. I'm going to let it know that I'm onto it. Now I'm going to use this whole system the way it was built to be used. All right. I'm going to squeeze it back and I'm going to hug it on the inside. And I'm going to do this central channel breathing. Because if I do, as I do, I start to carve a pathway right through this by squeezing it and then drawing the breath up and down through it. It starts to dissolve this blockage or this gap. It builds a bridge across the gap. And the next thing you know, you're breathing like this. And the next thing you know, this person doesn't bug you anymore. In fact, you see them and you're delighted because they taught you about a part of you that you were denying, a part of your own personal power that you were not in touch with, and that these actors in this movie that we're projecting onto this movie screen are here to support our awakening and nothing else. That's the only thing that's going on here. It's the only thing that's going on here. And so as we start to embrace what's really going on, we start to become super empowered by everyone that bothers us, by everything, by every obstacle that we have perceived in our lives. We start to turn it in to something that is serving us rather than holding us back. So life isn't hard. It's only hard when we don't have the circuitry in place to be present with it. And this is how we build that circuitry, to be present with everything. Because when we are present with life, life is joyous and easy and flowing, and it's delightful and something to inquire about. And it is stimulating and it is healing and activating to our whole soulful presence. And that's why we came here, to wake up to that, so that when we go somewhere else, we're very good at managing our energy because we learned how to do that while we were here on Earth. Planet Earth is an obstacle course that is teaching you how to manage your energy. And how you're doing at that is reflected by the joy and the health and the vitality, the flexibility and the freedom that you are experiencing in this life while you're here. So let's take that to heart and recognize that there are things that I could do differently that would allow me to be free and allow me to enjoy this life and to heal and to participate as a creative leader rather than waiting for somebody to fix it for me. Right. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I have one very last question. Yes. If you had the opportunity to wave a magic wand and wish something for the world, what would it be?
For them to know, for the humanity to know its magnificent role in the divine unfoldment of this beautiful heaven earth that we are walking through. It isn't heaven on earth. It is one thing. It's heaven earth right here. And my magic wand would have everyone awaken to their magnificent role in that great unfoldment and to know their greatness, to know their beauty. It would be that.
Thank you so, so much. That are so powerful words. And yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It is my joy. You know, when we get to tap the truth, you know, I could talk forever.
Da geht es Dr. Sue ähnlich wie mir, denn sonst würde es diesen Podcast hier nicht geben. Ich rede über all das auch super, super gerne und tausche mich aus. Und ich werde alles von Dr. Sue verlinken, ihre Website, ihr Buch The Energy Codes, beziehungsweise auf Deutsch die Energie Codes, so müssen sie auf Deutsch heißen. Aber ich verlinke es dir in den Shownotes und ja, freue mich jetzt schon auf die nächste Runde. Und ja, lass dich überraschen, würde ich mal sagen, denn die Energie geht jetzt woanders hin, ein bisschen, aber hat mit dem heutigen Podcast auf jeden Fall so einiges zu tun. Und ja, ich wünsche dir jetzt einen wundervollen Tag, einen wundervollen Abend, lass es dir gut gehen, trag dich auf Händen, Namaste und Satnam, deine Nadine.